Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. Hope you're doing well this morning as we expose more lies from Manchester United as the transfer spin continues. Have you noticed how in the last 24 hours we've been bombarded with news around superb, massive spends in the summer? Cole Palmer wants to come to United. Casemiro's going to leave in the summer, which allows us to be more active in the summer. We might give Manu a contract in the summer. And I think they take Man United fans for fools. And I think some of you are. Not this community, but I think some of you are. You know what? I looked around this morning before I went live at loads of Man United websites, loads of United YouTube channels, and not one of them had a title about United's revenue drop in the last 24 hours. It's all about, oh, thank you, Casemiro, for going. Man United could sign Cole Palmer. Man United new contract for Manu. It's sinister. It's sinister, isn't it? It's really sinister how blinkered or willingly blind this lot are. Are they on the payroll? I don't know. Are they being made promises for interviews? I don't know. But it's scary. It's scary, the spin cycle we're in at Man United at the moment, because we've seen all this before. And I'm not knocking people like David Ornstein or Ben Jacobs or Fabrizio Romano, you know, credible journalists who are saying we're expecting a big summer for Manchester United. But we've heard it all before. I mean, look, this is what David Ornstein said. I've got the quote here. I think it's a potentially heavy summer coming for Manchester United in terms of recruitment. Hello? The transfer window is open now. It's actually open now. Manchester City have just spent over £100 million on two top-class players. It's open now. Why are we talking about the summer? Why is it always tomorrow? And why do we always fall for it? You know, Conor Gallagher's gone to Spurs. He would have been a good acquirement. Douglas Luiz might be going to Chelsea. You know, there are players that... Manchester City only signed Semenyo and Gehi because they decided they wanted to sign Semenyo and Gehi. Nobody else was going for them. They went, we want them. Let's go now. Because if they hadn't gone for them, that would have been a summer deal. Gehi would have been choosing between Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City. Semenyo would have been choosing between a few options as well. Man City decided to be proactive and go and get them when others couldn't. Man United have decided to sit back and feed out nonsense about the summer. And what I find incredible about it is that we get this, like, stories about, oh, in the summer, we're going to go for Elliot Anderson. Oh, in the summer, we're going to go for Adam Wharton. Oh, in the summer, we're going to do this. It's a big summer for Man United. But we've heard it all before. Literally last season, the transfer window closed on January the 31st. David Ornstein did a piece the next day talking about a big summer and Kenda to Manchester United because he'd obviously been told that. And then a month later, Kenda signed for Chelsea. We get lied to. We get fed rubbish to distract. Yesterday morning, incredibly bad news about Man United's revenue streams, right? And I've had people messaging me saying it's not bad considering we finished 15th. Mate, that's last season. We're not in Europe this year. The revenue's going to be worse this year. Hardly anybody spoke about it.
Oh, Mainu might be getting a new contract. Oh, thank you, your legend, Casemiro. Oh, thanks for the good times. The good times? What bloody good times? Finishing 15th in the league? Sacking three managers? Oh, thanks for the good times. Legend Casemiro, thanks for the good times. And why couldn't you announce this at the end of fucking May? Why are we getting told this in January? You're not leaving till June. Oh, May new contract talks are going to start. Oh, Cole Palmer wants to come to my... Yesterday, Man United basically must have got in contact with a load of people and gone, there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. It's like we've got to cover up the fact that the club is shit on the pitch and shit off the pitch. Cole Palmer to Man United. We're going to talk to Maino about a contract. Casemiro's going to resign, retire or leave, whatever. And also get it out to all the good journalists. A big summer's coming at Man United. Oh, yeah. What's happening? Just say it's big. Yeah, but any detail? Oh, it's going to be big. Potentially massive. Words like this. Big, major, lots of potential, hundreds of millions. Yeah. And I sort of sit there and I go, it would be scary if so many people didn't question the bullshit. And look, maybe in the summer we'll finally get proven wrong. But I find it strange. I find it really strange that we've got protests in a week. The revenue is disgusting. The league position is, you know, OK, but the performances haven't been good. We've just sacked a manager. We won't spend in January. And yet... With over a week left in a very important transfer window, we're talking about a new contract for Mainu, a ridiculous hype bullshit story about Palmer. We're going to spend a lot in the summer, and Casemiro's going to retire and leave Man United. And I'm like, wow, absolutely wow. And then I think, well, we'll talk about this on the news show. And then I look around and... everybody else is going, my thoughts on Bruno. Why we'll miss Casemiro? Why Mainu getting a new contract is great? And I'm like, you're meant to be Man United fans. You're meant to be content creators. Why are you sucking off the club? Why won't you say something about the club? How can you be a Man United fan and not be concerned about being stuck in this constant spin cycle of bullshit? And look, there's a protest in a week's time. They stopped the last one by faking to buy Belaba. What are they going to do this time? They know the plan. They stopped the last protest by faking a deal for Belaba. And I call it faking a deal because they were never doing that deal. Oh, I've never known a deal like it. And that went through David Ornstein as well. And when Ornstein put it out there that Man United were in talks for Belaba, I thought that deal was getting done because David Ornstein is the best of the best. And I'm like, that deal's getting done. He's not up for hire. He will only feed information if it's credible. And when David Ornstein said Man United are in talks for Belaba, I actually thought, well, this deal gets done. And you know what? I don't know what David Ornstein thought about that. I mean, he would say, well, I got credible information. But you would want that exclusive to end up with Belaba holding a Man United shirt. And the fact that it didn't shows that Man United will put credible information out there through credible journalists to their fan base and bullshit them. Because that deal never got anywhere near done. We held talks with Belaba, who wanted to come to United, but we never got near what Brighton wanted. Never, not even £20 million closer to what they wanted. And that was bullshit. And, you know, looking back on it now, was that just a story fed to a credible journalist to shut down protests? Because those protests were going to happen before Arsenal. And the minute that story came out from David Ornstein, people were like, leave Sir Jim out of it. We're signing Belaba. So, look, what I want to say is, before we start talking about Xerxes and some other bits, is that we are in January. For 5 months, every United fan has said we've got to spend in January. We're in January. We've not done anything. We're not putting any message out that we're going to do anything. There's a protest next week. We're losing money massively. It's 50-50 whether we're going to get into Europe. And they're putting stories out about what they're going to do in the summer. Big, big summer. Casemiro, who's not going to leave till the summer, and a contract for Mainoo that won't get done until the summer either. And that's what United are putting out there. And that's what people in our fan base are swallowing as news. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And it's sad. It's really, really sad that whatever is going on with Man United now, it seems to me they spend a lot of time and potentially money on keeping things quiet. I better be careful crossing the road. Because I think we're one of the only people talking about the truth. The truth, I say. Like, did the revenue not drop massively? Was that not a big headline yesterday morning that no one wants to talk about? Are we about to not buy players in January again? No one wants to talk about. Are we being spun about we're going to spend big in the summer again like we were last January? And also, I will be happy to say I am wrong if in April we don't start getting the usual stories about a challenging summer because of FFP, reduced revenues, and, you know, we can't compete. I guarantee those stories are coming out in April about reduced revenues, challenging markets, and FFP. Because this is what they do. They don't, in January, they'll tell you they're going to spend loads in the summer. And then once the window's closed, it doesn't matter, no pressure. So then you can talk about FFP and challenging markets. Tell me I'm wrong. But what amazes me, what absolutely amazes me, and I think I would say 75% of our fan base is switched on. 25% of it, I just don't know what they're doing. However, when you look at January, right? January the 1st, we're expecting signings. Since then, we've sacked a manager, paid him 15 to 20 million pounds to go. Could have kept that manager and spent the money because that's what he wanted. Interviewed Ollie, give it to Carrick, not bought anybody. Revenues are down. But don't worry, we might spend loads of money in the summer. It's like, it's been a crap start to the year. An absolutely crap start to the year. And people are going on about positivity. And this is brilliant, Roosh. This is brilliant. And this is why we're not magicians. We're not magicians here in this community. We're just intelligent people, right? We've played the game. I've played the game, right? Yesterday, we were talking about it's normally this time of year where you start getting new kit leaks, right? And when they come out, people will be knocking one out, going, oh, well, I like it. Oh, it reminds me of the 90s. Oh, I like it. I can't wait to get one of them. Can't wait to get one of them and a roll of tissue and stand in front of the mirror. You know, same every year. You can't believe people want to do that because the club's fucking shit. But we literally spoke about it yesterday morning. Within an hour, there was a leaked picture of the potential new Man United kit. And all the same aggregators were going, what do you think about the new kit? And you sort of put your head in your hands and go, oh my God, how do these people's brain work? Are they being paid? Are they just certified morons? How does their brain work? The club's on its arse. Kits feed Ineos and the Glazers. You see the leak of a new kit and you think, I know, I'm going to play for likes and tweets. Oh, look at this fire kit. Can't wait to get my hands on this. You bloody Glazerite! You bloody Glazerite! It needs calling out. It does need calling out. Somebody just said the United Stand put it out there. Fired. I don't run the United Stand admin. I don't do the socials, but they're fired. I will find out who posted it and they're gone. You've got my word for it. But it is harsh. Look. Mackie, I'm going to do you a massive favour. He says 15 minutes of moaning. Well, we'll remove you. You go off and play with your dog or something like that, because ultimately there's plenty of other channels out there who won't talk about the real issues at Man United. And if we're going to end up being a minority channel but talks about the issues at Man United, I'm happy. And a lot of people in this community are. If you don't like that and you think it's moaning, trust me, there's plenty of bloody Glazerites out there pretending everything's okay. So I'm sure you go and find some. So you go off, mate, and enjoy your life and enjoy your day, and you go and swallow whatever bullshit. We'll celebrate beating Arsenal on Sunday. We celebrate beating Man City. We'll support the team, we'll support the manager, but it's above that. And what some people can't do and it's sad that we have to keep repeating this, is some people cannot do, I support the team, I can't stand the ownership. I'll get behind the team, but I want them out. Because some people's brains are just, I've got to be happy, 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 or negative, negative, negative. And the reality is, if you can't do that, you're probably in the wrong place. And ultimately, not many people are actually calling out what's going on at the football club at the moment. And, you know, I'd rather lose people like you and gain people who actually are intelligent enough to know that the club, you're being manipulated. I'm happy with that. The board thinks and knows that most fans are babies that will fall asleep to a good story. Doesn't matter true or not. The board don't rate us. Simple, says Seth. Well, like, you know what I want to know? You know what I want to know? I want to know, talking about a bit of news, I want to know who the source for the Cole Palmer story was. Does any of you know the source of the Cole Palmer story? Because, right, and this is how it works. I must have spoken about Cole Palmer yesterday because I saw a short, a YouTube short, or it might have been a TikTok, and it had tens of thousands of views. And I took the piss out of that story, yeah? I took the piss out of that story, and it still got tens of thousands of views. I then saw Robbie on his channel talking about it. I think it was DR Sports. And it got tens of thousands of views. And I thought to myself, this is the game. This is the game. And Man United play it better than anybody. Man United spin better than anybody. I mean, how do you stay in power for 20 years when you're literally there walking around in public with fangs sucking the blood out of something? You know what basically what we've done for 20 years as fans, right? Imagine you really love something. Could be a dog, could be a wife, right? It's got to be living, right? And you're stood there, and the thing you love is lying on the floor, and then a vampire is smiling at you as it sucks its blood, and you stand there going, I love that. And they're going, not won't be long till it's dead. That's literally what we've done for 20 years. We've watched the blood get sucked out of this club, and we know who's doing it. And we just sit there going, yeah, but look at his shoes. Look at his shoes. You know, it's like distraction. I will always say this, the business deal that the Glazers did, I detest they did it to United, but oh my God, what a deal, right? You go, it'd be like me and you, we've got a little bit of money in the bank, right? And we buy Real Madrid on debt, leverage debt. We buy Real Madrid on debt, and then we pay the debt off by using Real Madrid's profits. Today, that would be the equivalent of what they did to us. So we go to Real Madrid. We have got money. You know, we've got an empire of money. You know, we're a well-known name. We're good for the loan. And we leverage the debt. So we don't spend any of our money. We go to the bank and we say, look, we have got loads of money. Look at it, right? So you lend us the money to buy Real Madrid. And with this money we've got, we'll pay it back to you. So the bank goes, yeah, of course, they're loaded. We will lend you the money. You buy Real Madrid on debt, but then you don't use your money to pay it back. You use the club's profits. So you never spend a pound. That's the equivalent of what happened to Man United. I mean, if it wasn't our club, you'd go, fucking hell, that's genius. So I can have a load of money in the bank, so I can borrow money to buy something. And then when I've got it, I'll use that profit to pay the debt off. So I keep my money there. This is what they've done for 20 years. But they are the masters of spin. And so not only is the deal good, how they spin things and divide the fan base, they're brilliant at it. They're brilliant. They used to, I remember Gary Neville saying this, they used to recruit somebody who was, I think they were American, who their job at Man United was to analyse social media trends on players. So that if a player wasn't very popular, they'd instigate something to make them popular, whether it be an interview on MUTV or a bit of charity work or whatever like that. So they were monitoring players' popularity. Imagine what they're doing for the Glazers or the club. So their spin is great. But my point is, the Cole Palmer story is a big load of bollocks. And some people in the chat said it came from Sky. Someone said it came from a crap source, whatever. We're not signing Cole Palmer. It's nonsense, right? But that Cole Palmer story gets tens of thousands of views. Even my clip where I was taking the piss out of it did. How does that help Man United? Because it's a positive story about Man United. It's Chelsea's best player being linked with Man United, right? It's never going to happen, but it gets loads and loads and loads and loads of social interactions. And that's positive. So you're never going to buy him. It's never going to happen. But you just create something that creates positivity. And positivity distracts negativity. Positivity distracts reality. So that Cole Palmer story, total bullshit, but everybody was talking about it. It's like me saying today, oh, you'll never guess what. Saka wants to move to Manchester and his favourite colour is red. What do we think about Saka to Man United, everybody? Well, let's talk about it on Sky. You know, it's just creating stories all the time. And that's what they do. They're the masters of spin. They're the masters of spin. And look, David Ornstein and Ben Jacobs aren't liars. They'll be getting it from people saying, well, look, you know what? You're always interested in transfers, aren't you? The plan is we're not doing anything in January, but we want to go big in the summer. So, you know, we're talking big in the summer. You know, Casemiro's going to go, so his wages will help us a little bit. And we're looking to go big in multiple areas, regardless of Champions League football. Well, you put that out there. You're a journalist. But when you analyse that, what does that even mean? We're going to go big in the summer. Casemiro is going to save us some money, about £16 million in wages, but we don't get a transfer fee back. Ultimately, we've lost money on Casemiro. We spent £60 million on his fee. We've paid that £15 million every year. So we're going to save £15 million in wages. Okay. But you still got to pay the next player wages. Even if you're on 200 grand a week, you're still on, what, £8 million a year? Maybe more. So that's offset by what you bring in. And you need the transfer fee. If we're not in Europe, that's another loss. We know the revenues aren't good. Where's this money coming from? Where's this money coming from to go and spend another load of money, you know? And we need a manager. Casemiro's wage probably covers the next manager's wage. There's a lot of money lost in that football club. And there's a lot of money they're going to spend that nobody really knows where it's going to come from. And there's still a stadium to build. So I would say, you know, oh yeah, great news. We're going to go and spend a load of money in the summer. And I'm sure we'll spend some. But it's also a World Cup summer where most players won't talk to us until the end of till the middle of July. And the season starts in the middle of August. And the club needs major renovation, a new manager. And we're meant to sit here in January where we could be starting that renovation, by the way, and go, don't worry, the summer's going to be good. And that's what bothers me. It is like having a builder. It's like getting a builder in to build you an extension on your house for Christmas, right? They're meant to start the work in April. That gives them 8 months to get it done for Christmas, right? And they go, in April, ooh, got lots of plans, got some really good builders, bought some really good bricks, but we're going to start in September and we're going to work really hard and we'll actually get it done by November for you, but we won't be starting until September. And you go, hold on a minute, it's an 8 month job. If you start now, what if it rains? What if you have any problems? What if people go sick? Nah, don't worry. We'll do it in September. And then September comes and it's like, yeah. You know what I said back in April? I figured it out. It's still going to take 8 months. So you're not getting it for Christmas, basically. And I think that's what consistently happens with Manchester United. And, you know, it does need to get called out because I think it's fair to call it out. And also, we're talking about the Glazers a lot. Let's talk about Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos. Everything they've done for 2 years has turned out to be a load of bollocks. Robert McCormack says, I can see Cole Palmer coming, but not this summer. Well, it's a total irrelevance then, Robert. It's a total irrelevance. And that's my point. You look at Man City, you look at Chelsea, you look at Liverpool. They buy players in January because they've got major renovation to do. Man United refused to do it. It's laughable, actually. It's laughable how they are happy to put stuff out there to Ben Jacobs, David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano about a big, big summer. Because they're journalists. They're not going to go, it's a joke. They're not really opinion pieces, are they? They're journalists. The thing should be, look, Man United are going to... The big news today, David Ornstein says Man United potentially are going to have a big summer in the summer, right? Well, I say, why aren't they doing anything in January then? If they've got money for a big summer, why aren't they doing anything in January? If they're going big in the summer, why aren't they doing anything in January? You can get players in January. What's the difference between Belabor in the summer and Belabor now, by the way. What is the difference between Belabor in the summer and Belabor now? We're not going to give Brighton £80 million. So if we're going to negotiate at 60, why aren't we doing it now? Why aren't we doing it now? Dan says, who can we get? You're a Glazerite, Dan. I'm sorry, that's really blunt, but you're a Glazerite. If I was at that football club working in transfers, I'd get deals done in January. Don't fall for the spin of, well, who can we get? You know, players don't walk around in January, Dan, saying, come and get me, come and get me. You actually have to pick up the phone and do some work. Look at Mateta. Mateta wasn't leaving Palace a week ago. I want to go. Publicly, I want to go. Palace have got to let him go. You can't publicly put a transfer request in. You can't do that. You've got to put... I'm getting mixed up in my own words, Dan. Mateta wasn't going. He's going now because he's put a public transfer request in. That makes his position untenable. Maresca's not a manager of Chelsea because he publicly called them out. Same with Amorim. You can get players out of clubs. You can pick up the phone to Belabor and you can go, mate, we want you now. We need you now. We've got a big summer. We need to buy two or three midfielders and we need to get one in now because otherwise we won't get everything done. Well, how do I help? Put a transfer request in. Publicly put a transfer request in. Look, if Brighton say nothing, whatever, we'll get you in the summer, but help us out, you know? You can do it. Why is Gehi a Man City player? Because Man City decided they would give Palace the money. Why is Semenyu a Man City player? Because Man City decided they would give them the money. All right, Gehi's out of contract in the summer. Release clause for Semenyu, but they didn't need to pay them. They could have waited till the summer because that's when they want to do business. Why is Enzo Fernandez a Chelsea player? Because Chelsea went to Benfica and said, we want him now. We're not waiting till the summer. You can get deals. Don't even start trying to defend with not doing anything in January. You can do stuff in January. You can pick the phone up to multiple players. João Gomes at Wolves, you could easily get him. I'm not saying we should, but what I'm saying is there are deals that can be done. You can't just sit there going, we only want Elliot Anderson. We only want Elliot Anderson. Well, what if Elliot Anderson wants Man City? You know, what are you going to do then? You need an alternative. We're crap at transfers. We always have been, and we always will be when it comes to the January transfer market. One bit of business we might be doing, though, I will come to your comments, is Xerxes. I've been talking to you about this for a while. I do think this is going to happen. So Plettigoal, who's been a bit quiet recently, but is a good source, he basically said yesterday that Manchester United, AS Roma and several other clubs are still in the race for Xerxes. Concrete inquiries for loan deals have been made. A final decision is expected soon, as Xerxes is also keen to gain clarity. He has been injured, but should be fully fit again next week at the latest. So watch the last few days of the window. I do think that we might end up, and I don't class this as a transfer, by the way. I don't class bloody Ndidi or Loftus-Cheek as transfers. I'll take it because it's better than nothing, but come on, it's bloody embarrassing in my opinion. But I wouldn't be surprised if we did something in the last few days of the window. And obviously, United love a sell to buy. So I think Xerxes goes idea out, and I think we will bring one player in. Xerxes wants to go. He's a very popular player. I like him, but he wants to go because he wants to play. And there is an outside chance of him, like Maynou now, going to the World Cup. But he needs to play. And if he's playing for Roma, scoring goals for Roma, he probably will get called up for the Dutch squad. If he sits on his arse getting a few minutes here and there. Remember, Man United haven't got many games to play either. We're not in the FA Cup. We're playing one game a week. With the best will in the world for Michael Carrick, you've got 90 minutes once a week. You've got to pick your strongest team. There's very little reason to sub people off when they're playing one game a week. It's not like, oh, Bruno's tired, take him off. You know, Bruno would play four times a week. So I think there's very little game time for Xerxes, and we really should be moving him on. So I expect to see Xerxes moved on in the next few days, which I think is a good deal for everybody. I like Xerxes, but I just don't see. I just don't see game time. We can play Mbeumo up front. We can use Cunha up front. We can play Mount. We can play Cunha. We can play Bruno as the 10. Where does Xerxes even fit into this team in a 4-3-3?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think it probably would be. Mark, with the fake, I like Xerxes. Yeah, I've been saying it for 2 years, mate. I'm not going to bite on your rage bait, but I don't know why you wouldn't think I do, because I've consistently said I like Xerxes. Marlo with a super chat says, I don't understand the Martinez. Oh, I've just remembered. I'm rubbish at this. I've just remembered something. Cooking with Goldbridge is at 11 o'clock. The link is in the live chat and we've set it as a premiere, so you can actually get involved in a live chat. It's not going to be a live Cooking with Goldbridge, but we've premiered it, so you can go over there and watch it at 11 o'clock and interact with each other. But it's back at 11 o'clock straight after this, so we can all head over there. I'll go into the live chat as well. So 11 o'clock straight over to there. And you can get involved in that. But let me come back to the chat. I don't understand the Martinez criticism, says Marlo. I absolutely love that he fires back at the ex-players. Keane would have done the same. Martinez is a true leader, taking one for the team. You know what, Marlo? I don't understand the... I bet this is cold now. I hate cold tea, but I like warm tea. I mean, I don't want to go back there. Honestly, I think it's a distraction tactic to talk about ex-players instead of the club. I actually, again, despair at the fact that people have spent so much time talking about ex-players when evidentially the club is being run into the ground. But let's talk about ex-players who've got nothing to do with the club. So I can't be asked to go back down there. I think with any player, and I, you know, Martinez, Butcher, good player, I'm hoping he's going to have a good game on Saturday and for the rest of the season. For me, Martinez has got nothing to prove apart from his fitness. He's had two big injuries, and that is the only thing I'm concerned about. I'm just not one of those. And I respect people who put it across fairly about the Martinez's shortcomings. And I think he was a bit poor in a couple of games, but he's coming back from a long time out. And I do think that with Martinez, we've got a good player there. It just comes down to whether he can stay fit, Marlo. What I will say is, though, and I think Paul Scholes said this, and he is right about this, is that you better keep playing well. Because it's all right gobbing off after one performance, but you've got to do it week in, week out. And at United, he may not be able to do that. Because as an individual, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if United can't be consistent week in, week out, there will be games where people go, I don't rate him. I mean, I heard that bloody Tim Sherwood going on about Sesko again. And I'm sort of like, I don't know whether I've got the quote. I mean, look, who gives a shit about what Tim Sherwood said? But these ex-players do get very set in their ways about, I told you so. Tim Sherwood has slammed United over the signing of Sesko, saying they no longer buy the best strikers in the league. I'm guilty of living in the past regarding the United strikers, but they used to sign the best one in the Premier League. Unfortunately for United, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean,
It's a long time since we've done that. I mean, Andy Cole was one of the best strikers in the Premier League, but that was 1995, maybe. Wayne Rooney from Everton wasn't the best striker in the league. He was a very exciting talent at Everton. And beyond that, Van Persie, yeah, okay, 2012. But we haven't, it's been a long time since we bought the best strikers in the league. Alexis Sanchez potentially, but that didn't work out. I don't think there's a problem. I don't think you can level that criticism at Sesko. He's shit because Man United don't buy the best striker in the league. We're not going to buy Erling Haaland. So who's the next best striker in the league? Well, Ollie Watkins. A lot of people preferred Sesko over Watkins. So I don't have a problem with the signing of Sesko. I just think, much the same as Marlow and people who go in on Martinez, I think people who go in on Sesko are completely and utterly misprofiling the signing. We should have gone for somebody more experienced, but that's not his fault. We've gone for a prospect who may end up being a good player in the future. What we needed was somebody ready now. It's not about Premier League experience. It was about experience. And Osimhen's not a Premier League striker, but Osimhen over Sesko would have been a game changer. But yeah, as Marlowe said, I think some of the criticism is unfair. Amit says Anderson and Stiller next summer would be the ultimate duo. I'm not disagreeing with you, Amit, but I think we will end up with Belaba. I'm 95% sure we're going to end up with Belaba. It's got Jadon Sancho written all over it. As I said last night, we tried for him last summer. You unsettle him and then you go back. I don't know what we were playing at last summer because we clearly never had the funds, but we're obsessed with Belaba. We're going to do that deal. My fear with Belaba is it's another Dorgu, it's another Sesko, it's another Yoro, it's another prospect that we're going to have to be patient with, settle in, take your time. That's my problem with Belaba. I mean, you could have a problem with his inconsistent form for Brighton, but let's pretend he is a good signing. It's still a prospect. Man City laying the groundwork for Anderson. We ain't getting him, says Fox. Well, I don't know whether it was last week or the week before. I lose track. But what I was told from somebody who's very well linked in was that I wouldn't even be surprised if Man City made a play for Anderson in January. I would hope not. I'd like us to continue to have a chance of getting him. I don't think Man City will. I think that's far-fetched. I don't think Man City will go for him in January, but I think that they will go for him. Thank you, Robert McCormack. We've read that one. United stand is my religion, mate. You demand, says Amit. I've never seen the fan base this divided. It's quite sad. We need Glinios out and all the Glazerites with them. Keep speaking the truth, Mark. Big up, says Diane. Look, I don't think that the fan base is divided. I just think some of it is ignoring. I mean, there was very little reaction to United's revenue drop yesterday. But then everybody jumps on Casemiro leaving in the summer. There's very little reaction now to the fact that we sacked Amorim when we've got an interim and we should be looking at a new manager. It's all about, wow, we're doing new talks with Mainu. I think some people are selling their soul. That's what I'm saying. I think some people are selling their soul because they're willingly being ignorant. It's almost like they don't want to upset the club. Why? Surely that's what being a fan is, putting the club first. Back the team, sack the board, says David. The board thinks and knows that most fans have, I've done that one from Seth. In March, it will be no Europe. 40-game season means we don't have enough revenue, plus revenue was down last year, means difficult summer ahead. They think we are stupid. Yeah. Well, look, Patrick, you make a good point. Our revenue will be down this season again. So next January, our revenue will be down, definitely. But if we get Europe this season, then that will help us. I think we will get Europe. I do think we'll get Europe. But in a way, I can't figure out, even if we do get Europe, how that just doesn't get swallowed up covering off this season, if you know what I mean. We're going to make huge losses. If those revenue, what was it, £650 million of revenue for last season, not this season. Yes, we finished 15th, but you still play 38 games. And yes, we lost the Europa League final, but we still played another, what, I don't know how many games we played. Maybe another 12 in Europe. And we must have played about 55 games last year. And the revenue was at about 650. What's it going to be for just 40 games? So I think even if we do get into Europe, surely that gets swallowed up covering off this season. But nobody's having this conversation. Everyone's going, oh, United can spend big in the summer, but nobody will tell us how. How? How are you spending big? You refuse to put your own money in. You're not doing anything creative like selling hotels or the women's team. So how are you? How is this money? Where is this money coming from when we know we've lost money? And even if we get into Europe, surely that needs to backfill. And there's not really anybody we're about to sell for huge money either. Well, hopefully not, because I don't want Bruno to go. So where, you know, this is not even deep detail. This is just a question. If we're losing so much money, and we factually are, and we qualify for Europe, surely that money from Europe has to cover off some of the losses that we've made this year. So where is all this money coming from again? There will be some money. It's not like we won't have any. But I, when people talk about a big summer, let me just be clear. I think most Man United fans, when they hear a big summer, think two midfielders, a backup striker with experience, a winger, and maybe a fullback. You think five players and a cost of 300 million quid, at least, because the two midfielders I'm thinking about are going to cost you 150 million. So where's this 300 million pounds coming from? Can't see any sales that are going to help us. Look, we will get money back for Rasmus, but realistically, it won't be massive. We might get a bit for Rashford. Maybe Rashford's coming back. I don't know. Sancho's walking out the door for nothing. Casemiro's walking out the door for nothing. Maguire could walk out the door for nothing. There's not really a big sale there, is there? So, look, these are real questions, and maybe there's an answer to it, but they are real questions. Where is this money coming from? You can't just say we're going big in the summer, but where is it? Where are you getting the money from? And on top of that, we'll still be paying somewhere between 20 and 50 million pounds in debt interest. Intelligent club dropping revenues and about to pile on a bunch of debt for a new stadium, says Tom. Mark, you were right, says Roosh. New kit reveal on the 27th of Jan. Oh. Pistol says Sesko dropped again. Well, I think with regards to, well, we did the preview last night. I don't put Sesko in the team. I don't think it's being dropped. I mean, technically, I suppose it is. Is it not picking the best team for the circumstances? Look, I think Sesko will start games against a low block. That's my theory. I think when you're going to play against, when you can defend deep and need to counter at pace, Mbeumo, Dorgu and Ahmad make sense. If you're going to play Fulham at home and they're going to sit deep, you use Sesko. So I don't think it's dropped. I think it's a bit more like it happens a lot in the NFL, doesn't it? You know, it's the tactical play for that play. And, you know, we're talking more about the game against Arsenal. I mean, he might start Sesko, but I personally wouldn't change it. Goldfridge says, Ornstein also said we'd pulled out of the Agate race. He will put out what he's fed from the club. I'm sure he sources the info, but it is club spin. Exactly. You can't knock the journalist if they're told something. Exactly. If you're a journalist and Man United tell you we're going big in the summer, are you going to go, I don't believe you, I'm not putting that out? Why wouldn't you put it out? You're paid for stories, aren't you? Man United are going to go big in the summer. Why would you not put it out there? Not a United fan. Hope you're well, Mark, and the United stand. Man United spinning round like Kylie and Goldbridge cooking like Ramsey. Looking forward to cooking with Goldbridge, MasterChef Bridge. It's embarrassing, says Daniel Thompson. The Antonito says, in the summer, the same journalists will be saying that United won't overpay on transfers or there's no value in the market. Well, this is why I think we will get Belabor, by the way, because Belabor's not playing in the World Cup. So Man United can do what they did with Mbeumo, where you start it off in late May, you finalise it in the middle of July, and you basically spend weeks milking the story with Brighton, trying to get a deal and then paying them what they want anyway. So Belabor is a deal that we can be the story of the summer. And I think United will be very, very keen on doing that deal because it's easy. I don't think there'll be any competition for Belabor. And obviously, I think he wants to come to Manchester United. So I think we'll milk the Belabor deal because it's easy. And we do want him, but what I'm saying is we'll milk it as the big deal because it's easy to do because he won't be playing in the World Cup. Everybody else, whether it's Stiller, Wharton, Anderson, they're all going to be playing in the World Cup. So I don't think they're going to be very easy deals to do. And they're not players that I think can deal with transfer negotiations whilst being part of their squads because they're not senior players in that squad. And I don't think their managers will appreciate it. So I don't think that will happen. But look, you know, there was a lot of people who will be excited with Belaba and hopefully it will work out. However, is that a big summer signing based on a Brighton player that's been a little bit mediocre this year? You know, is it the big signing that it would have been in the summer after a good season for Brighton? But, you know, Cole Palmer won't happen, Josh. It's a load of bollocks. Great work, Mark. I think Anderson will go to City because the board and the owners are useless at their jobs, says Stuart. Look, I wouldn't go as far as to say I advise Elliot Anderson to sign for Manchester City. I advise you to sign for Man United. We're a great club. We want you here. However, you could look at it and go, look at United's last 10 years. It's been chaotic. How many players in the last 10 years at Man United have come out of it with any credibility and consistency? Very, very few. How many years have Man United been in the Champions League in the last 10 years? How many times have Man United challenged for the Premier League in the last 10 years? Zero. Are Man United going to pay massive wages now? No. So you're crossing instead of ticking a lot of reasons to sign for Man United. What we have to sell is a project. We have to sell, yeah, all those things are true, but you're going to be a massive part of the team that gets back. Now, we have sold that to many people, Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes. You know, we've sold that project multiple times. Yeah, the past has been crap, but you're going to be the player that takes us back. So it's whether a player would believe that, because that's all we can sell. Yes, we've made mistakes in the past, but this time it's going to work and you're going to be a key part of it. It's whether that player and agent believe that or not. Now, at a Manchester City or an Arsenal or a Liverpool, it doesn't take much believing, does it? And Man City might be able to offer him more money. So, and ultimately, you look at that Man City side and you go, okay, it's a bloody good side as well, isn't it? So look, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it'd be very difficult. Solid Blake, nice shirt, Mark. And also as well, what can you really sell until you don't even know the manager's going to be either? Maybe with Man City, that might be the case as well, to be fair. Why are we still after Belaba? He's not good, says Tillack. I mean, look, Belaba apparently played quite well in the Bournemouth game on Monday. I don't know, I didn't watch it. But and, you know, there is a good player there if he can find his consistency. According to you, what positions do we need to strengthen, says Amit? Well, I said five players. We definitely do need an experienced striker that can compete. I mean, look, Mateta's available as well. I mean, look, this is what I'm talking about, right? It's a good point. We're here talking about Casemiro leaving in the summer and maybe a new contract for Mainoo in the summer, a new kit in the summer. Spending big in the summer. And there's a guy who's just handed in a transfer request who would be perfect for us for the next 3 years as the experienced striker. I mean, it's really difficult to bring in the striker that we need because they need to be experienced and willing to be on the bench and fight for their place. Most experienced strikers will want to be starting. Well, we can't have that. We actually need a striker that probably isn't a starter, can start, but will compete. A bench striker, basically. And Mateta's perfect for that. And yet we don't do it. And people talk about Harry Kane. I heard Beth talking about Harry Kane yesterday with Ben. Harry Kane's totally unsuitable for Man United. His wage is going to be out of our range. He's one of the best strikers in the world. And he's well into his 30s. And also, he's going to want to play for a Premier League title and play in the Champions League. So it's completely unsuitable. But that's the sort of bullshit that United will probably go, let's put that story out there. In fact, we probably will get linked to Harry Kane now. But anyway, to answer the question, the five players I would go for, obviously two very, very good midfielders, like two starting midfielders straight away. In my opinion, it should be Stiller and Anderson, but two very good, whether it's Belabor and Anderson or whatever, two top midfielders. Not Ndidi can't be one of them. It can't be Ndidi on a permanent deal, right? So two top midfielders has to happen. Obviously, we need a left winger. If we're going to play a 4-3-3, we've got rid of all our wingers. We need a winger. So we do need a winger. That's very important. I said we need an experienced striker, and we do. And I would say definitely going to need something in the defence, dependent on who goes and who stays. Maybe we don't need a centre-back anymore. But I certainly think the full-back profiles aren't good enough. Mazraoui and Dalot, steady. But if you're playing a back four, you need a Hakimi or someone who's going to be the next Hakimi. And at left-back, Luke Shaw's time's running out. And even if Dorgu ends up being the solution, you're still going to need somebody else. So, yeah. Rashford coming back. Look, I'll answer this question as many times as people think. I think he'd be a fool to come back. Half the fan base don't want him back. As soon as he puts a bad game in, the flack will come back again. He'll be very expensive to keep because he's still going to be on the big wage. The people at the club who got rid of him are still there. And why would you leave Barcelona where everything's going really, really well? So I wouldn't say it's impossible, but I don't think we should be going anywhere near that deal. And I don't think he should be going anywhere near that deal. But you never know with United. I never thought we'd be interviewing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for the job. So I will never sit here and say there's no chance that Rashford comes back or Sancho comes back. You just don't know. But I don't think it's a good move for anybody. If Belabor comes in, it's all about resurgence, says Amit. Would you trust Wilcox if you were a player, says Dan O'Connell? I don't think players really care about the director of football, to be honest with you. I think their job is to perform for the manager. So I don't think there might be a few players that take note of Wilcox. You know, I'm sure people like Bruno Fernandes does, in relation to who's being brought in and everything. But look, we're never going to hear from players in that sense anyway. They're never going to speak like that anyway. Defo, take Barcola as the winger. Thoughts, Mark, says Niall. Look, a few weeks ago, at the end of December, when we were in the race for Semenyo, I didn't really feel that spending £65 million on him was the right thing to do, considering we need midfielders. A month later, with Amrim gone and playing a back four, that deal would have been perfect. It's chaos to think what Wilcox was doing, trying to get Amrim to play a back four so he could sign Semenyo. It's just chaotic. But where we are now, he would have been perfect for Manchester United. You want a winger who's 25. You want a winger who's got, you know, you want Michael Olise. I mean, that's who I want. I mean, I want a player that is not a prospect. I mean, Diamande at Leipzig is interesting. Nusa at Leipzig is interesting. There are wingers out there that are very interesting and could well be, in 3 or 4 years, really, really top wingers. But I have to be consistent. I do not think that Man United should be buying prospect after prospect after prospect. We desperately need deliverance in the sense of ready to go now. I mean, I'd love Anthony Gordon. I'd love Anthony Gordon at Man United. He's exactly the profile of player that we need. Semenyo would have been perfect. But how many players are there that are sort of 23 to 26 proven that can come in a Man United side and make us better? I mean, there might be some out there, but we definitely do need to sign a winger. Liao. Maybe Liao. Could he adjust? I don't know. Amit says, revamping United would take 2 decades with these owners. Thank you very much. Thilak says, doesn't rate Belabor. And Jid says, spend £130 million on Cunha and Mbeumo, yet our biggest noise is around Palmer, who plays in their position, all while announcing a midfielder will leave with no real plan around rebuilding the midfield. The club is a joke, says Jid. Thank you very much. Look, I think in relation to the midfield, you've got Casemiro's gone. Agate, I think, wants to go or will want to go in the summer. Mainoo's here for the long term. And yeah, we need to buy players. I've just read a comment here. Paul Scholes on whether he profited from the Lisandro Martinez comments on his podcast. No comment. I mean, that's not... I mean, what are we doing again? We're going after ex-players again. If you do a podcast, he's being paid to do the podcast. Paul Scholes could be on anything from £5,000 a year to £500,000 a year to do that podcast. So if he sits on a podcast and says, I like red cars, he's profiting from it. If he says, I think Martinez is shit, he's profiting from it. If he says, I like the Glazers, he's profiting from it. He gets paid to do the podcast. So, of course, he profits from doing a podcast. I mean, God, sometimes you just think, ugh. Apparently, he said he's not going to apologise, though. Well, look, we need to move on and focus on the real problems at Manchester United. Aston Villa advancing in their talks with Tammy Abraham. Fabrizio Romano's just put that out. Somebody said Romano's put an update out. Arne Slot says they don't expect anything in January. Man United still putting quotes out from Casemiro. Lads, he's not fucking leaving till the end of June. Carrick's press conference will be reacting to that just after 1:30. There we go. I've lost my live chat. I'm nothing without it. Make sure you smash the like on the video, by the way. I feel like Dorgu could be a better winger and we could get a more experienced one on the cheap. We should focus on a midfielder and left back. Well, look, Dazem, you never know with Man United. Maybe they solve the winger problem by using Dorgu as a winger. Mason Greenwood would be good, says Tiller. Look, I don't care about saying this in a purely footballing sense. I watched Marseille against Liverpool and he looked good. He did look good. Not going to lie, he did look good, but... I mean, we're not opening that can of worms, surely. VFL says, as expected, Man United kit collab with Stone Roses. You were right, Mark. They're starting to advertise new kits. What are your glute workouts? You've got a nice bum, says Masraoui. And HRS1, thank you very much for becoming a member. You're an absolute legend, sir. Thank you very much for that. Okay, well, look, Cooking with Goldbridge is about to start. We better go. Let's get over there. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget, we've got the press conference reaction. But get yourself over to Cooking with Goldbridge. It's about to watch, and I'll be in the comments. See you over there.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.